Okay, we now switch completely the subject, the topic of the lectures, and we go from the basic ideas of statistical mechanics to the computational methods. Today we just introduce some basic idea in a very simple setting, which is the determination of one-dimensional integrals. Of course, you would never use Monte Carlo methods to compute one-dimensional integral, but in this context, we can introduce all the concepts, and it's very easy to verify them as we are doing something that we know completely how to do exactly, integrals. So what is the Monte Carlo method, as you probably already know? The Monte Carlo method is a method that generates elements according to a given probability distribution. So we have a state space, for instance, a line, the real line, and we want to generate numbers according to a given probability distribution. And then we use this property of the Monte Carlo method to compute integrals. So here there is a very simple example on the real line. So we want to compute the integral of a function f of x between 0 and L. So the idea is that of writing the integral as an average over some probability distribution, which in this case is very simple. We introduce the uniform distribution in 0, L. So pi of x, which is the probability, or better, the probability density in 0, L, is simply the 1 over L. Remember what are the properties that allow you to be sure that pi of x is a probability density. We must have that pi of x is non-negative, so pi of x should be larger or equal to 0. So this is the first property, a probability should always be positive. And then we should have that the integral of pi of x is 1. This ensures that the total probability is 1. So these are the two properties that guarantee you that pi of x is a probability density in the interval 0, L. Then we do a trivial change of, a trivial rewriting of the integral. We take out a factor of L, we divide dx by L, and at the end we see that the integral I is L multiplied the average value of pi. So what the Monte Carlo method really does is computing for you the average value of f with respect to the probability pi. So what is the basic algorithm that we always use in Monte Carlo simulations? So the basic idea is that a repetition of steps. We repeat one step several times, and so a basic number that we should fix whenever we do a simulation is the number of iterations. So the input is n, the number of iteration. Then in our case, the algorithm is very simple. We introduce a variable which is called here sum. We set it to 0 at the beginning. Then we do a cycle, and this cycle is repeated n times. And in this cycle, we generate a number x, capital X, with the given probability, with the probability pi of x. We compute f of x and we add to the variable sum. And then at the end, the average value is set equal to 1 over n, the variable sum. So why this algorithm makes sense? Because of the sample mean theorem, which tells you that the 1 over n, that sum, the variable sum at the end is 1 over n, the sum from I to n of f of xi. Xi are the numbers which are generated in the cycle. So at each cycle we generate a number, we call them x1, x2, x3, x4, up to xn. If you look at the cycle, we are effectively computing the sum, and at the end, in the last step, we divide, we normalize the sum with 1 over n. The xi are extracted with probability density pi of x. And that sum, which is called the sample mean, converges for large values of n as n goes to infinity to the average value of f with respect to the density, to the probability density pi. To be mathematically precise, we should specify what convergence means here. This is convergence in probability. This means that for essentially all sequences, x1, xn, this is true, but of course there are sequences which are possible that do not have this property, but these sequences for which the equality does not hold have zero measure, as they say. It's like you have a dice and you get always one. Of course, this is a possible sequence, but for large n, the probability to get a sequence in which you always get 1, 1, 1, 1 with your dice is exactly zero. Goes to zero, as it's not exactly zero, it goes to zero as the number of times is going to infinity. The sample mean theorem is true for any pi of x, not even in one dimension, it's true for any pi of x in any dimension. And this is the basic theorem that we use in this context, because it tells you that if you increase the number of iterations, at the end, for very large n, you will get the correct result. What is the practical problem? The practical problem is, of course, in the generation of the numbers with the given probability. We should be able to generate xi with the given probability pi of x. And this is not a trivial problem. Monte Carlo algorithms are meant exactly to do this job, to generate numbers with some given, according to some given probability distribution. In all Monte Carlo programs, there is always one basic routine which generates uniform random numbers in 0, 1, so in the interval 0, 1. I'm saying random numbers, but more precisely, we should say pseudo-random numbers, because they are not really random, but they enjoy most of the properties that good and real random numbers enjoy. So we call this routine run. It's just a name. And it has the property that it generates numbers xi that are uniformly distributed in 0, 1, which means that that given a number a and a number delta, such that delta is positive, and both a and a plus delta are included between 0 and 1, the probability that your number falls in the small interval between a and a plus delta is delta, whatever is a and delta. This is the concept of uniform random numbers. This property is easy to ensure numerically with numerical methods, but there is also a second property that we want to ensure, which is not easy, and that it is never exactly satisfied by the routine run, and is the property that there are no correlations, that successive numbers are completely uncorrelated. So what is the meaning? Is that I take the routine and I get one number, let's call it xi, then I repeat the calculation of the routine and I get a second number that I call xj, and I want these two numbers to be completely uncorrelated. So it means that the probability of getting xj between b and b plus delta is completely uncorrelated. There is no correlation with the probability that xi, the first number we got from our routine, is between a and a plus delta. So the combined probability, the joint probability, that xi is in one interval and xj is in the second interval is simply the product of the length of the two intervals. So it is equal to delta square. It is not possible to have this property with numerical methods. So there is no algorithm that ensures the exact absence of correlations. But most of the work in this field has been that of devising numerical method to generate uniform numbers which are mostly uncorrelated. So that there are correlations, but they are so small that effectively you don't see them. So there is a lot of research in routines that generate uniform random numbers. Remember, the important property is the absence of correlations. This is crucial in most of the applications. If you have this routine, of course, you can use it to generate uniform number numbers in an interval of width L, so in the interval 0, L. It is enough to define xi equal L times run. If run generates numbers in 0, 1, if you multiply run by L, you get random numbers in 0, L. The routine can also be used to generate integers uniformly among 0, 1, 2, 3, L. So you have L plus 1 numbers, 0, 1, 2, 3, up to L, and you want to choose one of these numbers with exactly the same probability. So imagine that that L is equal to 3. You want to choose 0, 1, 2, 3. There are four numbers with probability 1/4. So the method is written here. You take run, you multiply by the number of numbers you want to get, which is L plus 1, and you take the floor. Floor means the smallest integer that corresponds to your number. So what we get? So once we multiply by L plus 1 by 4, we get a uniform random number. So ui is a uniform random number between 0 and 4. Then when you take the floor, if the number is 0.3, you get 0. If the number is 2.7, you get 2. So you immediately see that you get xi equals 0 when ui is in the interval 0, 1. And of course, ui goes in the interval 0, 1 with probability 1/4. You get xi equal 1 if ui is between 1 and 2, which again happens with probability 1/4. So in this way, you see that the four numbers are obtained with probability 1/4 in all cases. There is an important comment on the implementations, is that usually these random number generators generate numbers in 0, 1, in which 0 is included, but 1 is not included. So it's a closed interval on one side, open interval on the other side. And this is a crucial difference. So these random number generators never generate 1. For instance, if the random number generators were giving you 1, then the algorithm to generate integers would not work. It would fail. Because you see, if run is equal to 1, then your variable ui is equal to L plus 1, and so xi is equal to L plus 1, which is not one of the numbers between 0 and L. And this may be a problem in some programs, because for instance, then you access some memory location with index L plus 1, but there is no memory location at position L plus 1, and so your program crashes. So it's crucial for the applications that one is never obtained from your random number generator. And essentially all random number generators satisfy this property. If they don't, then in the algorithm to generate the integer, you should introduce a check. That if run is equal to 1, you just disregard the random number and you generate another one.